This is Sound the Shofar on Warn Radio. It is Shabbat and time for fellowship, the Word of God and rest. Join us now as we enter into Sound the Shofar on the Watchman Alert Radio Network. Greetings.
Greetings and welcome to Sound the Shofar with the Watchman and Tower. Here is a clue to tonight's study. Hebrews, Revelation of His Son, Part 8. Author, Finisher of Our Faith. Laying aside all weights, all sin, anything that will beset us and stop us from running the race that is before all believers found in Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Friday, the 13th day of July, 2018, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and this is Warn Radio, bringing you the truth of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. The readings in this Word this week are found in Numbers chapter 30, starting at verse 1, through Numbers chapter 36, verse 13, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1, through chapter 3, verse 4. The New Testament portion is found in John chapter 1, verses 1 through chapter 3, verse 36. You can go to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, or gethealthyyoungliving.com to read the latest articles by The Watchman and listen to the radio shows on our sites. The featured posts this week are by the Watchman are Behold Justice, Judgment, and Mercy. When He comes, all shall behold Him, and all that dwell on the earth shall wail because of Him. Mercy is given, but justice and judgment are rewarded. Also, listen to Wednesday's show on Prophecy News, Blood Moon, Polanyi Crisis, Christian Persecution, and more world events by going to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, and gethealthyyoungliving.com. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/warnradio. Also on our Twitter accounts at #WatchmanIS216, #WarnRadio, or #WGS_Watchman. And now I welcome in the Watchman for Sound the Shofar. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good. I'm really thankful that it's Friday.
Yeah, it's been a busy, busy week.
Yes, it has.
You know, and I say that every time.
Well, maybe we're in a rut.
Well, you know, I mean, we're busy. And maybe we're too busy, but, you know, I found that a lot of people are busy. I mean, everybody's busy. You ask them, they're busy.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're Americans, and we've got a lot of luxuries and a lot of things that make life easier. Well, I think of the pioneers. If you were in a covered wagon, yeah, you'd be busy.
Boy, howdy.
You know, sure try would. Just trying to find your food for the day and find out how to cook it.
And surviving.
All I got to do is open the refrigerator, you know, turn on the stove, put a pan on there, throw in some grease and fry something or cook something or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
But you're in a covered wagon.
Now that's a lot of work.
Hey, Pa, hurry up and get that antelope skinned, will you? We need a steak for dinner.
Throw it in the pot with the beans.
Well, Ma, can't do that. I gotta sharpen the knife first. But then we got attacked by some ruffins, and I had to fight them off, and then I had to feed the animals. Uh-oh.
Yeah, it was.
We
not
just
easy.
Lost this thing.
You're kidding me.
You know, I don't know what that is, but it.
Are we gone?
No, we're still recording, but there, it came back. The whole thing goes black.
That's weird.
And, I have no idea what it is. It's just one of those things. I've got to figure it out. And that's the third time it's happened. But maybe it didn't like my impersonations.
Maybe. Cutting that dude off right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe it tries to go into a... I'll change that right now while I'm working on it. I've got to do some... Well, at any rate, yeah, we're here on a Friday.
Thank the Lord.
Yes, amen to that. Dear God in heaven. And, been busy in the garden and everything else. And we did make it up in the mountains here
last Sunday. Saturday.
And but that's really draining because we have to drive quite a ways and there's a lot of stuff going on, but it is fun. We were up there with the Warrior, and many of you probably don't know who the Warrior is, but he was our co-host for, I don't know how long it was,
a
couple
four
years.
Something like that.
And a lot of our old listeners got to know him, and he's still monitoring politics and busy and a lot of other things. I monitor politics from a distance. Do not touch.
That's the scary stuff.
Yeah, I... Well, you know, he had gotten a couple of, in the party. He had made it up pretty high in that, and he worked it for quite some time and made some real big inroads, and then he kind of laid off. He's still in the layoff period because I think he got a little tired of it, but they wanted him to come back, and so he still goes to the meetings and helps them with some of the stuff, because some of the things that he was doing was innovative. But he's not the kind to want to go into national politics at all. I don't foresee that. Now, my father-in-law thought he would, but I don't know. I know I would never. You kidding me? My grandfather was, what was he? He was a city manager or the mayor of Catalina Island. That's about as deep in politics as he got.
Yeah.
I don't get into politics. Now, I have an acquaintance that made it into the Senate here. I think it's a Senate representative or something up there in Cheyenne. And him and, Tower and I know him from way, way, way back. And so, but he's in there. He sold all of his restaurants and decided, and he was glad to do it, get rid of them. And,
well, it's a burden when you're older and in this day and age.
Yeah. I asked him, why do you want to get in politics? Are you crazy? You know, and he shook his head and he smiled. He said, I don't know. <He's>, right. I mean, and he got elected. So he's running again this year. It's kind of funny. Whoops, what do I do now? I'm elected.
Yeah.
So now he's an old hand. He's been at it a while. So just as long as you don't get like some of the rest of them.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. So at any rate, we... what else we got going on? Oh, well, Trump was over in the UK, which I didn't read the details. I don't care. But, oh, Trump, he don't care either. He just goes anyway.
Whether they like him or not,
you like him or not, he just walks right in there, looks at him in the eye and say, you need to stop doing this.
Yeah, good for him.
I mean, he does. That's what he does. It makes people back here mad, you know. And who was that? A new... Mickey Rourke came out. He's another Hollywood knucklehead that came out and was featured. I do not know why Breitbart, in all their baloney, gives these idiots like this coverage. Don't take their picture. Don't put it up. Keep it off your cover. But, oh, no, they put it up there so you can read it and look at this moron, Mickey Rourke.
Yeah, he's got issues. I think he was into drugs for a while and may still be. I don't know.
Well, Mickey Rourke's a knucklehead anyway.
Yeah, I don't
He never
watch
was.
Him.
Never
I don't
did amount
care.
To much
nope.
when it come to acting. And then, as he got older, he, you know, because of the drugs and everything, decided he would do a facelift. And then they totally... screwed up his features. He don't even look like Mickey Rourke anymore.
Well,
but
I know.
He made it quite clear he didn't like Trump. At least that's what I gathered. Because
who cares?
Yeah, you know, out of Hollywood. You kidding me? Now James Woods, of course, he's on the other hand standing up against all this liberal knuckleheaded stuff, and he's a Hollywood type, but. He decided he would retire from it. But he can always go into Christian movies.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those. And right now, the Hollywood doesn't know what to do because a lot of the Christian movies are actually making money.
Yeah, they're doing quite well because people don't like the trash the Hollywoods are putting out.
So Hollywood is...
The Hollywoodies. The Woodies.
They're scratching their head wondering what's with this Christian, you know, thing. And, well, you know, if you don't know, I'm not going to tell you because you won't listen.
They're
just keep scratching your head.
God has confounded them.
Don't take much, I can tell you. You know. I mean, you don't have to pull the wool down over their eyes because they can't see now anyway. They're blinded.
Yeah, that's the fact.
You know, that's a fact. They are. They're blinded. They're dumbfounded. Blinded. They, you know, they just can't understand what's going on. But I don't know. I don't. My life is not ruled by these knuckleheads out of Hollywood. I don't give them quarter. I don't pay any attention to them. I never read what they're doing. I don't care what they're doing on Twitter because I don't spend much time on Twitter. We have a lot of stuff that floats around on Twitter. We got 3 Twitter accounts. We got a lot of social sites. But we don't, you know, I don't go there. Not at all. And that's just all there is to it. These people want to be idiots, they can be idiots in front of someone else.
Yeah.
I am not going to give them the time of day.
Or watch their movies and
no,
give them any honor
I will,
or anything.
No, I will not. I will not watch a movie. And I remember a lot of these people. And, of course, I don't go to the movies much anyway. But
you haven't been for years.
Yeah.
Not planning on any time soon either.
Yeah. But at any rate... What else is going on? Well, it is the weekend. Tower and I are ready for it because we've been so busy this week and the last several weeks. And we're already through. Good grief.
Middle of July.
Yeah, it's going to be the middle of July. And, man, around here, that's half a summer.
Yeah.
My Boston Morrow squash is coming on and growing all over the place. Their vines are like 10 foot long. And when I try to, I was mowing the lawn this afternoon in between everything, and I had to move the vines in order to get the mower out. I mean, they're climbing on everything. They're all over the place.
And then they have these tentacles that they attach to everything.
Yeah, and well, last year we got a 40-pound plus Boston Morrow and a 20-pound plus.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get one at least 30 pounds because that's what they said that you can do on a Boston Morrow. Boston Morrow is a heritage seed of the Americas. It goes back to our founding, and a lot of the early settlers, the pioneers, would try to plant it because it was so big. You have a few of those, it could really feed the family.
Yeah.
And of course we got Turban. Now that's not a heritage, but that is a another one, and it's pretty good too. It's shaped like a turban, like you would see on a Muslim or an Arab or something.
We bought that turban like back in 2010. We stopped at a farmer's market in Minnesota and bought that, and we've saved the seeds every year. So we've had this our eighth season with them.
Yeah, I keep getting the seeds out of the ones I'm growing. Well, I asked him at the time, I said, are these seeds going to be good? Can I grow with them? He said, you sure can. I've been doing it ever since. I have a lot of our own seeds, and I save them every year, and I reuse them. So a lot of them are well situated. And a lot of our specialty tomatoes are coming up. They're doing really good. Of course, our raspberries are doing fabulous. We've already got 3 pounds or 4 pounds of raspberries. We expect a lot more because they're just, we got to pick them tomorrow too, or the next day.
Yeah, it's like every other day you got to pick them.
Yep, so a lot of stuff. But this heat, you know, has been really, really hot here, and it just drains you. But boy, is it good on the raspberry, all the berries, and, you know, it's really good on our sweet potatoes. I have a specialty sweet potato that they get up to 3 pounds, a sweet potato.
That's huge.
It is, and I'm not sure what the name of it is, a three-pounder. It's a specialty one. And of course I haven't dug them up, so I don't know what ours are going to turn out like. That's
yeah,
just what
the
they
first,
said
first year we've tried them.
Yeah,
that'll be interesting.
Yeah, we don't eat many potatoes. We eat our squash, and we eat our sweet potatoes. We eat a lot of these other things. My mother would be disappointed, and of course Tower is Irish, so the fact that she don't get to eat many potatoes, that's really kind of strange. Sometimes I got to go take her out to eat and buy her a bunch of French fries. So she can get her potato thing. But well, at any rate, that's enough from here. A little bit of news, a little bit of chatting. This is Friday, Sound the Shofar. We're going to get into Hebrews here in a minute. We're glad you join us whenever you do. And we say that because we have people literally around the world listening on the WIBR, Warren Radio Network. Warren stands for the Watchman Alert Radio Network. And it is made up of a bunch of radio carriers and podcasts like Blueberry and Spreaker and iHeart. And a lot of others. People carry this thing, and we have people that literally from around the world have been to our websites, and we have people from around the world that follow us on Facebook. We have a lot of people on Twitter. I mean, for us, I don't spend time building it up. It's kind of natural on its own, so whatever's there is there. But we're glad that you're joined us. And remember to check out the websites at warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. Our other site, Get Healthy Young Living, is basically Get Healthy. It's a specialty site, and it's not a news site. And right now, our podcasts for the summer are in hiatus because we got so much going on. And next fall, we'll try to get it back going again. But it has posts that regenerate all the time, and it has news on it and things, and it has a lot of information. So check it out, Get Healthy Young Living. You can contact us from any of our websites and find a lot of information. And so with that, we need to get into this, Tower.
Okay, well, let me read this.
Go ahead.
Hebrews, Revelation of His Son, Part 8, Author and Finisher of Our Faith. Hebrews 12 is directly ahead and flashing a warning sign for all in this nation. The nation to which I speak is not America, but those who are found in Christ Jesus, a holy nation and peculiar people. We are one in Him. We are one and in Him, but we are to lay aside all sins, weights, and laziness, which will hinder our race. This is called a race and has a finishing line, to which will occur when our Lord appears. We are looking to Jesus Christ as our author and finisher of our faith. For whatever imperfections or troubles we may have, one day He will perfect that which is in us, and we will be like Him. Therefore the warning is given. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood. Strive against sin. And now back to you for part 8.
Okay. Whenever you're reading and studying out of the Scripture, especially the New Testament, and you see what the apostles did and what they preached, this is the truth that you have to continue in. And in Hebrews 12, following, of course, our faith chapter, it's put in here in a real good order. Because you learn about faith, you see what happens, and then you're told about chapter 12, which opens with wherefore. And when you see the word wherefore, you have to look and see what it's there for. So whenever you see a wherefore, think therefore. Therefore, why did he put the wherefore? And the wherefore refers to the previous chapter. Because of the faith, because of all of those witnesses, and because of all of those who went before us, and who were justified, and held on to the promises, and had faith, and had signs and wonders and miracles and deliverances, and because of that. So it opens, wherefore, or because of all that in the previous chapter concerning faith. Seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now see, we just got done reading, and we saw all of what happened. And there was persecution. There were some that were martyred. There were some that were destitute. There were some that got deliverances. There were miracles, signs and wonders, and people that believed God and stood on the promises of God. And as we look around today in this world, it is a wicked world. The world has always been wicked. But in these last days, it seems like it's worse. And when we get into 2 Timothy 3, we see Paul teaching us about the perilous times of which this end time is known for. If you get into 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you find out about the great deception that's coming. And the fact that society as we know it is going to fall away from, the church itself, but they are going to also on a whole scale basis reject the love of the truth, which is the love of God and the love of the Son and the gospel and everything that we believe. They will reject that, and they will accept an impostor who will appear as light and have miracles and signs and wonders and will lead them into destruction. And God will send them this delusion so that they will believe a lie because they have rejected the truth. Now see, that's hard for some people to understand, but if we get in Isaiah, Isaiah talks about the same thing. You know, when he says, I will choose your delusions and bring your own fears upon you, because when I called, you did not answer. And so we see a God that is, you know, worked out to give you mercy, to make a way for your redemption, and to live above all those things in the world. Now, in Hebrews 12, he's not speaking to newbies. He's speaking to people who know what a witness is. They know the facts of redemption. They know about faith because he's already taught them about that. He's been going through extensively speaking to them. And he says here, there's a great cloud of witnesses. In other words, as it says in Revelation 12:11, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, meaning you're redeemed, the word of your testimony, which goes back to the Gospels, where he says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before the Father. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before the Father and his angels. And the other thing is, love not your lives unto the death. And so we are in an end time period that is perilous. People that have a hard time knowing what the truth is. But we also, as we've reported in our news show, we've reported that there's been miracles. There's been people getting saved. There's been lots of Muslims that came to the Lord. And so God is moving in these end times. He's not a God of I can't. He's a God of I am. And he is not about going to take second place. Even the devil, who has boasted that he would ascend above the Most High, is simply a liar and a thief and the father of lies, the Lord says. So in speaking to us, we have witnesses. We are not to fear. We're to have faith. And we are to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, you see, only you know what your weight is and the sin. Now, I'm not talking about your actual body weight. These weights and the sins are the things that keep you from being effective for the Lord. Procrastination, laziness, sin itself. There's a lot of things that can, you know, gossip, innuendo, jealousies, rage, adulteries, fornication. I mean, the list is endless. But when you're talking about Christians and someone who, you know, considers themselves a disciple, you know, could be any number of issues and only they know it. And you're supposed to lay that aside, every weight. In other words, open yourself up, strive as we are to strive for the Lord, and put down that sin. And see, this is not for the faint of heart, and it's not for those newbies who are just starting in the race. And, you know, for all you that go into Bible school is just the beginning of your learning. And even when you go through there and you get your BA and you go on and get a master's and then maybe a PhD and come back and you're not even 30 and you're a doctorate theology or whatever it is you got, you do not know it all. You might think you know it all, but I got news for you. Paul knew it all. He studied at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. He knew the original tongues and languages. But even he didn't recognize the Lord as the Messiah when he came. And it wasn't until after he had ascended that the Lord appeared to him and Paul became redeemed. The high priest, the rest of the Sanhedrin, there was lots of them that knew the original tongues and languages and knew the scriptures, yet they still did not recognize the Messiah. And so, education is great. Getting in there and getting a PhD or a master's or a BA, you know, and you're going to go into the ministry, that's fine. But unless you can find out how to seek Him, to get rid of the secret sin that nobody knows about, because when you're in Bible school, you can get away with a lot of stuff, and you can actually graduate with sin in your life, because there are times that you're not going to give it up. And you need to be in that ministerial focus when you're going through all this, and how much more so someone who is not in the ministry but a mere disciple. And Paul is talking to them, laying aside every weight and the sin that would stop us from doing that, and let us run this race with patience, because that is what we are to do. We are not to walk in fear. We are not to be lazy. We are not to be allowing the devil rule over us or give place to the devil. We are to look unto the Lord. And he says that in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. See, he's the one that set it up for us. As in John 1, he went to his own and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name, trust in, rely on, and cling to his name. John 3, you must be born again of the Spirit. He is the author. He is the one that enabled us to find hope, to find redemption, to be justified. And he is the finisher of our faith. That's why you find him in Revelation. And that's also the place where he gives the warnings to the seven churches. And that's why he's found in the last chapter of Revelation, chapter 22. And he says, I'm coming quickly to give to every man according as his work shall be. And before that, he says, he that is holy or righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is wicked, let him be wicked still. And that's in the last chapter of Revelation. And he tells us that, and then he goes into, I'm coming quickly. He is the finisher. He knows our hearts. And he will tell you through his Spirit, when you have need of something, to correct. That's what the Spirit of God does. That's also what the Word of God does. Because he doesn't want you appearing to him with that sin in your life. Now, the Lord went through a lot going through the cross, but it says, who for the joy that was set before him Now you see, what was set before him, we seen in the Garden of Gethsemane as he prayed. We seen it in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was taken by the guards to see the chief priests, the high priest. So we saw all this. But see, he didn't see that. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. But it says, who for the joy that was set before him. See, before he was to get to the joy, there was the cross. Now see, we have a joy that's set before us tonight as Christians. Yesterday, we are enduring a lot of things that are going on. And they're going to get worse eventually. Eventually, there will be the great tribulation. Eventually, the dark one will rule worldwide. Eventually. And every day, Christians wake up and they always have some kind of a challenge, some kind of a problem, things happening. But you need to look beyond those things to the joy that's set before you. That's what the Lord said. That's how it's written. Who for the joy that was set before him? Well, what was set before him was the cross. He had come for the purpose of the cross. He knew what it would take. And then there's the shame. He's the Son of God. He emptied himself in order to come. And you have these pompous humans, flesh, acting as if they're God when he is God. And yet he allowed this to happen for the love that he had for us. And now he's at the right hand of the throne of God. He had endured the cross. He despised the shame. He was buried, resurrected from the dead, seen alive by many infallible proofs and witnesses, left instructions for the church. And he is at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And he's coming again. And verse 3 of that says, for consider him, meaning the Lord, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. And that's what I was saying earlier. He endured this thing. I mean, he had glory. He was with the Father in glory. Glorified. But he endured the opposite of that. And here Paul writes, contradiction of sinners against himself. You know, they had come against him. And there's many of them that didn't believe him. But he became sin for us. Now see, he says that because he says, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Now you see, in many parts of this world, Christians do resist unto blood. If they just walk down the street, they can be killed and martyred. And you will find them, and we report on it every week as part of our ministry that we do. And we do it on our Wednesday show, our prophecy news, Christian persecution, and much more. Asa Bibi, she's still in prison. She faced a death penalty, and they accused her of blasphemy. But there was no blasphemy. She is working in the fields in India. No, in Pakistan. And she got thirsty. She was tired. She drank out of a fountain or whatever it was that they were drinking out of, and the women with her were all Muslims, and they consider her unclean. So they got after her, and before long they had accused her of blasphemy against Muhammad, against their God. All she did was go to work. But because she's a Christian, they are afraid to death of her. But see, if you're in America or the West, as I call it, where Christianity took up root, we've lived good lives here. We have been prospered. Christianity grew. The gospel went out. But see, we've gotten to the point in this country now where the gospel's barely preached. And with all the sin that's going on in this country and the things that are happening, you very rarely hear any voices out of the largest churches in America. They simply are quiet. Now, you'll hear from Franklin Graham. He'll flat tell you. When David Wilkerson was alive, you would hear from him. And there's others. But we still have some of the old evangelists running around who are trying to buy million-dollar planes, and that's what you hear from them. Do I hear them saying anything against the sin or striving? No. Do I hear the true gospel? No. Now, I know that there are pastors and preachers and Christians out there that talk about the gospel and redemption. But folks, we ain't even close to where we were in this country. Now, Paul pointed this out in Hebrews 12:4, "You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." Now, see, this is a personal implication. See, wherefore seeing we, okay, that is a group, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that's a group, but it's more personal because it's our faith. When I say finisher of our faith, I interpret that as being my faith. So it's getting more personal. And then he says in verse 3, "For consider him that endured such a contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds." Personal. And then he says, "Ye have not resisted unto blood." Personal. He starts out with the group we, addressing Christians, and narrows it down to you. And you are the ye. You are the one he's talking to. And only you can answer that. Now, Paul is saying to this group here, because he knew them, "You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin," because they didn't stand up against it. That's why. Now, Paul would stand up against it. Peter and the others. Timothy. Timothy was told, "Endure hardness as a good soldier in Christ." Endure hardness. You're a soldier. Get out there. Now see, we live in a nation in America that to say mildly that there's no such thing as sin here would be an understatement. There is such a thing as sin, and it's all over, but yet for the most part, in the churches and out of the churches, we don't talk about that little three-letter word called sin. See, when you say, "Well, I know a three-letter word beginning with S," you're going to think sex. That's what we do in this country. But the three-letter word beginning with S in this country is sin. And it's not just in this country. So don't feel like you're the lone stranger, like I'm picking on America. I'm speaking to America because I happen to live here. My kids are here. My friends are here. I've been here all my life. I've got roots here. I've got roots on top of my roots that go back generations here. You know, I'm not from Europe. I didn't live in Europe. Somewhere a long time ago, I might have had some roots that were there. But I'm talking today. Today, I'm concerned about America. This is where I live. This is where I am. And I see the church. I hear. I behold. And it doesn't mean there aren't Christians out there trying to talk about it. But this is really a personal thing. Because when you look around and you see that we have an ongoing Islamic push against Christians, you also have an ongoing push of radical Hindus against Christianity. And you have Christians being oppressed in China, North Korea, and many other places. Verse 5, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. When was the last time your preacher stood up and said, "I perceive some of you people are bastards"? See, we don't even use that word anymore. In the old days, there was a reason there was a bastard. But we don't even consider that anymore. And as far as the chastisement, see, God is so loving, he never does it, according to many doctrines. But as many as the Lord loveth, he rebukes and chastens. Now, Paul put it this way, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth." So it's like this. If you're chastened, guess what? He loves you. How do you know your father loves you? He will spank you. And scourgeth. Well, we don't scourge. That is, spank corrects. Yeah, we wouldn't dare take our own kids and whip them. Of course, Tower and I have shared this before, talking about this. When we were growing up, the strap my dad had was a 2-inch leather belt on the backside. We don't do that anymore. That's why you've got a spoiled generation. Generations of them that's never been corrected. And you've got many of them up in Congress and many of them that are in your schools, and they're continuing with their liberal push. But see, when you're dealing with the Lord, he's going to chasten the believers and scourge them. Now, this doesn't mean he's going to do it all your life. But when you just begin in this walk, there's a time that you're going to go through chastening. You're going to go through scourging. you're going to go through a time that's what it is, getting you into that straight and narrow, walking down that path. It's called discipline. And you got two avenues. If you endure the chastening, then God, you know, will deal with you as sons. But if you reject that and walk away, then you're a bastard. You're not a son of the Lord. You're not one of his children. Now that's black and white. Okay? Now see, there are scriptures in the New Testament that the world hates. Romans 1 is one. The whole entire chapter of Romans 1. Many of the nations don't like that. Now this particular little verse here, there are a lot of people that don't like this. Because they have user-friendly churches, and how could you pack a church out if you're telling them that you need to wake up, you need to seek the Lord and understand that you've been pretty comfortable sitting on your pew and you've not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Matter of fact, you've just ignored it. You haven't stood up against it. And then you get into the point of chastisement. If you had a church that's user-friendly and says, come on into our church. We're friendly. Come on in. But I got to warn you, as soon as you get in here and you accept the Lord, if you will accept him, the Lord is going to spank you. He's going to correct you. You're going to go down a narrow path called discipline. And God's going to create in you a heart of service and discipline, obedience and faith, that user-friendly church isn't going to be user-friendly. They're going to be gone. But see, pretty much, even the liberal churches, they don't know it. But God will send even them chastisement. And then there comes a time that they reject it. And then God allows them to go their own way. But he will deal with you. Because he's going to correct you. So don't think that God, when you get saved, he's going to go out golfing for the rest of your tour as a Christian on this earth. When you accept the Lord and begin walking that, you have just started the ball rolling called discipline and servitude and eventually taking up the cross. Oh, it's a walk. And I can tell you, because I've been there and done that. Bible school did not teach you that. They can take the book. They can teach you. But you got to get in the presence of God. Because these Bible teachers and these Bible schools ain't going to be with you when you're out there in the nitty-gritty of the war zone for Christ. Because I can tell you there's casualties out there. There's bodies laying everywhere out there. And there's people that are throwing their cross away. There's people that have lost their faith. Out of our church alone, and I've said this before, there was like 9 couples the year we went out into the ministry. And my pastor told me, he says, one of the worst places to be is a pastor or in the ministry for the Lord, because there's a lot of them that will actually lose their faith and their salvation. Now, the first church I was in, I was met by the deacons who told me to get out. But I had a lot of people that wanted me there. But see, they had the vote on the board, and some of the ones that even liked me voted with them. They didn't stand up to it and said, no, let's keep him around. They decided to join him. Later, one of them came and apologized to me, and I said, well, why didn't you stand up? He says, well, I guess I have a jellyfish backbone. And I said, well, I guess you do. Now, see, that was my first church. Wasn't my first attempt at ministry. We actually had a street ministry. We had a coffee house, and we were buddies from Bible school. And we'd go out, and we were on the street. We were passing out tracts. We were talking to people. We had people come into our coffee house. The goal was to help them. This is not a game. This is serious. Now, we have been in America and we've made this a game. And there's people at it that are really good at professional religion. And they're good at professional religious churches, especially Christian religious churches. And they don't have one dime's worth of redemption in them. They are whore churches filled with hireling pastors that are more like the president of a corporation than they are a son of God. That's why the fire is going to come through. So it ends here in a few more verses. He says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Yeah, we know what that correction is. Actually, you know, when my dad did it with that belt, and he was whipping me and said, this hurts me more than it does you. And I couldn't believe that. You know, but at any rate, when it was over, I had a sore butt. And he left. The next day, everything was fine. But I got news for you. When the Lord chastens you, when the Lord corrects you, and then you don't listen, he turns up the heat. Let me put it this way. If there's a contest between you and God, you're going to lose. You know, I did have a running argument with the Lord for some time. And he did win. Thank God, because I could have just gotten stubborn and went the other way, but he gave me a choice. See, God in his mercy will deal with you. And there was a point in there that there was darkness, and this is when I was fighting God. We were arguing over an issue that I had. And it wasn't adultery or anything like that. No, it had nothing to do with that. It wasn't with that at all. But at any rate, it's none of your business what it was. But the bottom line of it is that I had to make a choice. And of course, I had a hunger for God. I didn't hate God. Didn't hate him at all. I just had issues. And so we spent time arguing about it. Actually, I did the arguing and he did the chastising. But we worked it out because I repented. That was years ago. Many, 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 many years ago. But you see, I still remember the day that he called me back. And I was in the room alone. And I was working on my desk, on my computer. Yeah, I had a computer back then. Not like these. And I heard his voice behind me. I had something he wanted me to do. And I said, "Lord, look at me. I can't do anything." And at that time, I was sick. I was depressed. I had been on the receiving end of that chastisement for a long time. Because I was overly stubborn, you see. But his mercy kicked in. Because, you know, I found out that I feared God more than I feared this life. In other words, if I hadn't have feared God, then I would have taken my life because I hated what I was going through. But see, I couldn't do that because behind this life stood a God that I knew existed, and I feared Him more than anything. And He showed up that day, told me what I needed to do, what He wanted me to do. And all I could do was weep. It's hard for me to tell. And you see, I drugged my family down with me. But see, we're healed today. And I can tell you this today because I'm healed and straightened out. I'm anointed now. But you have to go through that. Because if I would have rejected that chastisement, then I would have been a bastard. I had a father that corrected me, and the next day we were happy having breakfast together, and I didn't have any pain on my butt. But when you are in error or being chastised as a Christian, God will not go away. But there's times that you think He does. And there's moments that you're going to go through this, that you're going to feel as though you have been dropped off on Mars or something. The ceiling above you is brass. You can't get through. You don't know what to do. God is trying to get you to have dependence on Him, to come to Him. Oh, and He knows how to do it too. Because I guarantee you, you can only go through so much. You're either going to reject Him and His correction. You're either going to accept it or reject it. That's it. Verse 10, "For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our own profit, that we might be a partaker of His holiness." Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. See, because God need to bring me out. He had an end time ministry He wanted me to do. And that's when the internet was just beginning. And I was to get online and run this internet, and I had one of the few shows online in our part of the country This was in the early days. You didn't have video. You didn't have pictures. You didn't have much of anything. Totally different thing. You didn't have a fraction of what you have today back then. Totally different. Not at all like it is today. But I was on that, preaching the word. And God still wasn't done dealing with me, but I began. And what's more, my family began coming with me. Now, the kids really didn't understand it, because once it finally hit both Tara Tower and I, we began having Bible studies, endless Bible studies at our house all the time. The kids couldn't even interrupt. They could come sit down if they wanted to, but don't interrupt. We would stand in the aisles of Walmart and pray for people for healing. Now you see, we are covered by a whole mountain of witnesses in this world. And they're looking for someone to point to them just who is the real God. And who is his son? And you have to know him. If you're going to reveal him, you had better well know who he is. And I can tell you, the sugar plum Jesus and the fairy tale church in America does not know the biblical apostolic Jewish Redeemer at all. Many of them have been fed fodder for so many years, they would die if they ate the real thing. Like Paul said, you know, I would give you meat, but all you can handle is milk. And Paul is ending. Now see, this is following the chapter on faith. And part of that chapter is about persecution, and some of them people, they had a choice. There was some who asked for deliverance and got it, and there was others desiring no deliverance so that they might have a better resurrection, and they were martyred. That is the martyr's anointing. So here in Hebrews 12, wherefore, because of all this that he's discussing, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. In other words, he's saying, get busy. Get into the presence of God. Believe him. Have faith. Repent. And I can tell you, I needed physical healing at the time. And once I made up my mind, that was it. I would quote scripture walking around my house, speaking to the parts of my body that didn't work. Because at the time I had a hard time driving, I couldn't pick up things. I quoted scripture, I rebuked, I spoke it all the time. And I stood up to it. And guess what? It left. Because it couldn't take the heat. But see, even for years after that, it would try to come back, and I'd do the same thing. I would start moving my limbs and things that had the problem, and I would speak to them, and I would, you're healed. And see, if you're going to be healed, be healed. Paul is saying, lift up the hands that hang down. Straighten up those knees. Get your feet, walk down that path that Christ wants you to. Have faith and believe God. But do it now. Don't wait. Just get out there and say, now's the time. I've made the decision. Even in Bible school, we learned when we had to do essays, 70% of the work was just getting started. That's always the hardest part. Just start. So then he gives you suggestion. Follow peace with all men and holiness. Do you remember what holiness is? Many of our churches today don't. Many of our Christian families don't. Matter of fact, they allow their kids to do things that are unholy and let them get away with it. Fathers, you need to be the high priest of the family. Mothers, you need to stop being the boss. Let the man take the biblical role. Now, you may not like this, but you need to understand. You can either be a woman of God, as mentioned in Proverbs 30, or you can be Jezebel, which was eaten by the dogs. Now, you got to decide. We have a nation full of Jezebel women and Ahaz men. And they are serving idols and devils, and they are not going to get through this in a very good manner, because God is going to judge them all. Looking diligently, lest any man follow the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. See, and that's what you have to do. Look diligently. In other words, keep your eyes open. Because the grace of God is dependent upon you meeting people, forgiving people, and don't let bitterness crop up that it'll defile you. Because bitterness, unforgiveness, hate are all things that will defile your redemption. You got to let it go. And that's why I tell you, these people that are doing all this, like Maxine Waters and the others that are just wicked and vile all the time, just spewing this stuff. You don't want this stuff in your life. You need to read my latest article on warren-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com, because it'll address these issues. Because if you allow bitterness, unforgiveness, hatred, if you get into gossip and innuendo, backbiting, all of that has the ability to defile you. And when it defiles you, your answers to prayer are hindered. Your redemption is hindered. And he says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be. Now, this is connected by a semicolon. So this is the continuing thought. This is other things that will defile you. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person or Esau who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Carnal, profane, fornicator, lover of the world. This is where you need to be. And I've said this for years. You need to get tunnel vision. And you need to look to the Lord. You need to take care of your family. You go through every day looking to Him and trust Him no matter what happens. All hell breaks loose in America. Well, you know, we serve God in the good times. We can serve Him in the bad times. Because I can tell you, hell is coming, and death with them. And it's coming. And all these people that are rich in Hollywood, that are shouting their mouth off and hating Trump, that's defiling. One of these days, Hollywood isn't even going to be there. One of these days, their money isn't going to do them any good. It's easy to shoot off your mouth when you're some big, rich, mucky-muck. You have all kinds of money, and you just shoot it off, and all, of course, all of the horror media come running like lapdogs wanting to know what you said. We're not interested. We don't want to hear it. But see, the world doesn't want to hear this stuff. The lukewarm church doesn't want to hear this stuff. For you know that how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, speaking of Esau. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Now, Paul continues here. For you are not come unto the mount that might be touched, that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that sight, that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Now that was the children of Israel at Sinai, when God appeared on the mount. And they just told Moses, don't allow God to talk to us. We don't want to hear him. You have him tell you, and then you come tell us. When the fire gets too close, stand back a little bit. It was frightening. And that's the problem we have in the world today. They do not fear God, nor honor him. But see, Paul is trying to get to a point here. We don't live in the time of Mount Sinai. We live in the time of Calvary and God's grace and mercy, which fulfilled the law. Now this is what he wants you to know. See, God, when you come to him and you're his son or daughter, he's going to deal with you as a son or a daughter. He's going to correct you. What father wouldn't? But he loves you. And he has a plan for you in your life, and he can see clearly where you're headed. So you need to trust him. So this is what Paul said. But you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. I love this part. This is poetic. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn. That's us, because Christ is the firstfruits. Which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. I love that too. By the way, that men means men and women. It's all of us who've been redeemed. To the spirits. See, under Adam, we died. Under Christ, we live. But only if you receive him and walk in him. Must be born again of the Spirit. The spirits of just men made perfect. Think of that. Made perfect. We belong to the general assembly and church of the firstborn that is written in heaven eternal. It ain't going anywhere. And to God, the judge of all, the one in charge of everything, he knows where you stand. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, the one who had forsaken his own glory with his Father to come down and die on the cross for you and me. To the blood of the sprinkling, which is the blood of the covenant, for God himself chose that it would be through the blood that the atonement for the sins would be made. And this speaks better things than that of Abel, the writer says. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. See, if you did something in the Old Testament wrong, you were judged right then, right now. Now see, we got entire generations of people today around the world, in this world today, that ignore what God has done for them. Many of them refuse him. And he goes on to say, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also the heavens. And this word, yet once more, signifying the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. He is shaking things up, folks, and it's going to get up there even more. Because he's bringing in a kingdom, and you're going to be part of it. But you got to be perfect in order to get into that kingdom, and that is only going to happen through Christ. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. See, we need to get up, put off the sins that easily beset us. We're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. God is shaking the world. We've got an answer. And God wants people to be redeemed. He doesn't want to see them be destroyed. You are the salt. You are the light. You are the voice. You are the one. If you don't do it, who will? And you're the church of the firstborn, the heavenly city, the new Jerusalem. And that kingdom is not going to be moved. And while God is shaking this earth, you and I need to be here unshakable. God did not put us here to have faith, to live in fear and shake and tremble every time something happens. And a long time ago, you know, God has spoken to my heart on this matter a number of times. And the first time I decided that I was not going to live in fear, no matter what that was. I was not going to open the door to tomorrow in fear. And I've said this many times. And I chose that I'm going to live by faith no matter what. I'm going to believe that God is going to make a way for me and my family and those who listen. No matter what, he will make a way. I believe that. Now, the other thing that I resolved as well, that I was not going to allow the news and all this baloney going on to stir me, because I am to walk in faith and have the Lord's peace. That is where we need to be tonight. In him, unshakable, because he cannot be shaken, and we are found in him. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Let this word enter into the hearts of those that hear it. Lord, bless them, and in Jesus' name I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word in Jesus' name. That was Hebrews 12, by the way. And we're coming down to the end. Okay, Tower.
Okay. That's exciting, isn't it?
It is.
It makes me... Oh, it's hard, though, because I got a lot of stuff to get rid of.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well...
Like today.
Well, you know, the good thing of it is that, you know, we ain't perfect yet.
God has mercy. Thank God.
He does have mercy.
I need it. God bless you.
Oh, did you hear that?
Yes, I heard you sneeze.
I turned my mic off.
But I could hear it back here.
Oh, man, that was a big one.
I was scared when I heard you turn the mic off. I didn't know what's going on.
Yeah. Well, at any rate, we will be in Hebrews 13.
Next Friday, the 20th.
Yeah. And, you know, I would have made 14 chapters or 12. I wouldn't have just done 13. But see, they don't believe in the same thing. Actually, they didn't have chapters. This was done later.
Yeah, that's right.
These were letters. So, at any rate, we are about done with Hebrews, and then we'll be on something else. Remember, on our Thursday night program, we're going through John. And we're going to have to get out of here.
Well, thank you for joining us, everybody. God bless you. We love you. We pray for you. We thank you. Truly appreciate you and your friendship. God bless you. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.